Welcome to the New Breed Christian Community, where we're dedicated to deepening your spiritual walk and empowering you to live in the fullness of Christ. Whether you're joining us for the first time or you're a regular part of our community, we're so glad you're here. Get ready for an inspiring session as we dive into the Word of God together, growing stronger in faith and closer to our Savior. Let's begin this journey of transformation and spiritual maturity as we get into the Word of God by our lead steward.
On Sunday, we began to teach on how to produce evidence in your Christian life. And I will encourage you to go back to all those other teachings. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak to us clearly. Let your word come with power. Let every demonic force, distraction, sidetraction that will remove us from what you're trying to say today, let it be taken out of the way. Let the power of your Holy Spirit clear out the way in Jesus' name. Amen. So, like I said, on Sunday we began to teach on how to produce evidence in your Christian life. And we said there are two things that must happen if you will produce evidence in your Christian life. The first one is walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 7. The first epistle of John chapter 1 from verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. The second thing we said, which is our emphasis for today, is a stronger intimacy and relationship with the Holy Spirit. A stronger intimacy and relationship with God. Acts chapter 1 from verse 8. Acts chapter 1 from verse 8, it says, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Meaning, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will become a proof producer. Say after me, I'm a proof producer for Jesus. People will look at me and say, Jesus is alive. Glory. He says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses, proof producers unto me. So you see that. And in this journey of building intimacy with God, the first thing we will talk about is regaining your spiritual form. For some, it will be gain your spiritual form because they never had it in the first place. Especially those who are not saved. Are you with me? You know, what is a form? You know, my type of teaching, I like to define things so that you will understand it. What is a form? It's not something that you feel in this context. Amen. It's not Google Forms. The meaning of a form is the shape or structure of a thing. This is according to Webster's dictionary. We have a long journey, so I'll be fast. Just run with me. The meaning of a form is the shape and structure of something as distinguished from its material. So, when we say we are gaining spiritual form, we are saying we are gaining spiritual shape or structure. And if that doesn't make sense, I will give you more examples to illustrate this. People who exercise regularly know what it means to be out of form. Maybe they stopped exercising for 2 months and then they went back to the gym. You know, they call it gym rats, right? After 2 months. So they began the year 2025. Every morning, they will go to the gym, do some bench presses, carry some dumbbells, and they were doing this thing and their body changed. They saw that some things became easy. After every now and then, they would take up a camera and video themselves in the gym doing like this, oppressing us. We will not be oppressed no matter what you do. And after a while, they felt like bosses and stopped going. And then 2 months later, they went back to that gym and tried to do the same things and found out that the dumbbell that they could carry with one hand, now with two hands, they are struggling. The bench presses they were doing easily is difficult. It doesn't just feel like it. And even if they could do it, it doesn't just feel like the way it was that time. You know what's happening? They've lost their form. Let me give another example.
If you drive and you've not been driving for 4 years, when you start driving again, don't try to overtake too much. Calm down. Get your form back. The same thing applies to us spiritually. One simple way to know you are out of form is that the very things that seemed so easy to do in the past now look difficult. The very things that you overcame and it became very easy for you, now you are putting much more effort. Tithing used to be very easy. Okay, no matter how much, I just give 10% to the Lord. But now, how will I remove 10%? Why? Evangelism used to be so easy. Now, you think 100 thoughts before you make a statement about Jesus. Prayer used to be so easy. You could pray for 1 hour. Now, 5 minutes, you're like, God, am I in prison? Bible reading used to be easy. Now, 3 chapters. And you are battling with sleep. Now, I'm not here to judge you. I'm your pastor, so I'm here to encourage you in the Lord. Are you with me? You know, people who have walked with the Lord for some time, a considerable amount of time, they can know when they're out of form. The people I pity for are those who don't even know what it means to be on form. They don't know what it is to flow with the Lord, to be in that state where you are in the glory of being in step with God. Before you think about something, the Holy Ghost has showed you what to do. You don't make stupid decisions. It's like you are just where God wants you to be. Just when you thought about it, you met the opportunity. The Holy Ghost is arranging your life. You know you are in that glow of the Spirit. I pray for you. It's coming back to you. Amen. And this concept of losing form is not strange to the idea of the Bible. We see it both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Please follow me. Today's service. See, I wrote something on my status while meditating for this service. I said, if this service does not help you, nothing else can help you. I say that with all sense of humility, it's not finality. Are you with me? So let's start from the New Testament. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Revelation 2, verse 1. It says, and unto the angel of the church of Ephesus writes, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his hands, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. He's talking about Jesus. So, this is what Jesus was saying to the church in Ephesus. Verse 2. Jesus says, can you read with me? I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not. This scripture always scares me. I know today in this generation it's easy to every little place you turn there's an apostle. But when you see a verse like this, it should make you think. This verse fits this particular church, it fits this generation very well. He says, and thou hast tried them which say are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. Verse 3. And has borne and has patience for my name's sake, has labored, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Now everybody read verse 4 and verse 5. It says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Are you seeing this? I have somewhat against thee. This is Jesus talking, oh. Hey, I have something against you. There's a score we need to settle. Because thou hast left thy first love. Then look at verse 5. It says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Now, do you discover that the repentance is for Christians? Repentance is more for the believer than for the unbeliever. The unbeliever needs to repent and surrender to the Lord Jesus. The believer has plenty repenting to do in changing his lifestyle because he has a new nature. Are you with me? It says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. Look at the choice of Jesus. Thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. In other words, Jesus is saying, go back to your spiritual form. If you have walked with God for a while, you can remember some times in your life, the times in your life where your walk with God was energetic. God is saying, go back. This word is for you. Is for you. For you. This my our online viewers is for you. Praise the Lord. But guess what? I want to show you something else. Do you realize that these people, look at verse 2. He says, I know thy works. Thank you. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how cannot bear them which are evil, and has tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. Do you realize that Jesus pointed out that this church, they had some works already. It's not like they were outright sinners. They had some works. And one of the things they were known for is that they knew how to detect those who are false. Are you following me? They knew how to detect the people who were not doing it right. They knew how to detect those who were not serving God right. Whereas there was something also wrong in their own spiritual life that they ignored. They ignored the issue in their own life, and they were masters in spotting issues in other people. This verse describes our generation very well. Is it true that there are many false, calling out those who are wrong, calling out those who are fake, and you have also forgotten yourself? You have forgotten that you too have derailed. He says, go back to your first love. Now, Jesus did not say, I don't care about all you've been doing before. He said, I appreciate the fact that you have been passionate about me and calling out those who are not as passionate, but you have left your first love. So this sermon is not just for us to say, look at them. Pastor, tell them. Some of us need to say, Pastor, tell me. Speak to me. Praise the Lord. And of course, if I'm telling you, that means it has spoken to me first. Are you with me? So I'm not just here to say, I'm going to tell you, you've lost your spiritual form. Come back. I'm also telling myself, go back to your first love. Are you getting this? Now let's go to the Old Testament. And that's where I'm going to base the bulk of my time today. We're going to be looking at the prophetic story in 1 Kings chapter 16 to chapter 18. There was a time in the history of ancient Israel when there was a major crisis in their rulership. And so Israel split into two. There was one part of Israel that was called Judah. One other part was called Israel. And the bulk of the tribes were in Israel. And of course, they were bigger. And they had their kings. But you see, they had many kings that deviated from the worship of God to worship Baal or Baal. Please pay attention. Have you ever thought to yourself, I want to answer a question today. Have you ever thought to yourself, why is it that every time you read about the Old Testament, these Israelites like to worship idols? Have you ever thought about it before? Now, so you like idol. Every small thing, you will see an Israel deviated from worshiping the Lord, and they went after Baal. They went after Ashtaroth. They went after Milcom. They went after idols. You people, you too like idol. And I know in your mind, you are thinking about those graven images. Are you getting this? And you are putting yourself in their shoes, like, why will I leave the Lord Jesus and go and be worshiping a graven image or something carved out of iron? Ha! Doesn't this guy just have sense? But can I shock you? We are in the same shoes too. Those same idols are here with us. very, very present with us. And I will show you how. See, the first major reason why Israel was deviating to worship idols, Baal and all of that, was because of the sinful nature in man. You know, the sinful nature has a way of painting God to look like boring. The sinful nature and the deceptive work of Satan has a way of painting God as boring, burdensome, difficult, stressful. And we have those same battles too. People can easily give excuse towards the things of God. Shall I say this? Let it not look like I'm attacking you. I want to say something. But God, please. Okay, let me put it like this. I'm not trying to attack you. Just understand what I'm saying. Do you realize that when people are going through a hard time, they easily say, God has been unfaithful to me. I'm not going to church. They easily put out church and God. They don't say, I'm so angry. Why is my life like this? You know what? I'm not eating again. I'm not eating again. What's the point of living? No, they still wake up the next morning and find food. Are you getting me? No matter people who go to 9 to 5, you will be angry on Sunday. You will be depressed. This life, why is my life like that? 7:30, you're on your way to work. Nobody easily just calls your boss and says, you know what? I'm just tired of life. I can't be in the office today. I'm tired. And the boss is like, what's happening? I'm just depressed. I'm tired. As angry as they are, they show up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Some of them Saturday, some Sunday after service. They are there. But it's easy to just say, you know, God. Are you getting me? I'm not saying this. I'm better than you. I have been there in times when I just felt like things are not working the way I want them to work. Okay, God, stay your day, your day. Let me day my day. Why did you put God away? That's the deceptive work of Satan. You know how terrible that is. The only thing you need, the most important thing you need out of that challenge, the devil is deceiving you to put it away. Are you not seeing how your village boy against you? So the first reason why Israel was doing that was because the nature of Adam, the Adamic nature, sinful nature, that draws men towards everything opposite God. Satan will make it look more beautiful. Are you getting me? Number two reason why they always went towards Baal. Part of the worship of Baal included illicit sex, sexual perversion, homosexuality, and lesbianism. Guess what? Those same battles happen today. When people say don't fall into sin, do you realize that people literally just fall into the sin you're talking about is fornication? Because let me tell you, that's the this generation, I've talked about it before, but I will talk about it again. I don't know how people are surviving in this generation. I don't know how. Of course, the statistics prove that we have a problem. You know, there was a time they wanted to ban Twitter. Initially, I was angry. Why would they put a ban on Twitter? One day, I saw something on Twitter. I said, God, I need to run away from this app. You can be there if you know how to put order into your space. I was scrolling. A lady just came, opened her shirt. Like, open the shirt. I said, yeah, Jesus. Open it. I closed the back. Liko Balabasata. Jesus. I cleaned my eyes. Guess what? Before I closed the app, I saw that thing had almost 1,000 reposts. So wait, you, in your full sense, To them, they are just posting, but in the spirit, they are worshiping Baal. Those same idols are here with us. The same idols that were plaguing the children of Egypt are still here with us. And number three reason why Israel was always going to those idols was because they wanted to be like other nations. Almost all the powerful nations in those days were worshipping Baal, Ashtaroth, Milcom, all those. And so there was a pressure on Israel. You want to be like them. They wanted to be like them. Those things, same thing happens with us today. Everything that puts pressure on you to compromise so that you will be like some sort of people is the same worship of Baal. You know, I was talking to someone in the tech space, and she was telling me that right now, almost every top person in the tech space has a team with zodiac signs. I'm like, really? She said yes. That when she meets many of the top people in AI, in IT, and all of this, they have a thing about zodiac, and many of them have these yoga temples in their. People will go on Friday evening to just enjoy. They will now bring some strange, you know, there was one that they were showing on the internet. They put off the lights, put some red lights, and began to beat some drums, and brought something that looked like a masquerader. Everybody was just dancing in the club. They were just dancing. And the person with the hype man was, the gods are here with us. And everybody was screaming, the gods, and everybody was just enjoying themselves. To them, one other believer that was there that has lost her form, she was a believer, but she was in the club. When she saw the thing, she told her friend, I'm not comfortable with this thing. This thing don't pass clubbing. Something is happening here. He was like, the other friend was like, what is it, safe? You poor are too spiritual. You spiritualize everything. It's just fun. You will go back and you are now many. You came alone. You went back with many. She now woke up. I started having dreams. She woke up and discovered that she would see herself in a temple in dreams. Initiation happened. As they were drinking and dancing, initiation happened. See, in this generation, you must be fierce to reject this peer pressure. That thing they call FOMO, fear of missing out. That curiosity is happening here, it's happening there. People, I've done deliverances to a lot of people. I like casted out demons. Many things that people did that God initiated, they did not even know. Some of them, they say, let's go and eat. Let's go. I'm not saying don't hang out with your friends. But when the Holy Ghost is pointing, see this thing they are doing. Are you comfortable with this thing? Somebody ate fish and was possessed. I casted out the demon. I'm serious. Let me not deviate too much. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So these are the same things. So you have to check your life. Are there idols? Anything in your life that competes with God is an idol. Anything. Some people, it may not be clubbing. It may be something neutral. Sometimes food can compete with God. Food. The Holy Ghost is telling you, pray. They are fine planted. The smell you have. Oh God, wait first. This smell, I must worship this thing. I will worship you forever. God is saying, you fast. Mm-hmm. Some people, you know, somebody told me one time, said, David, you have a beef with movies. I said, no, the problem is I actually like movies. I like it so much that God had to say, brother, my son, this thing is disturbing you. Many years ago, almost 10 years ago, God had to break the hold of that thing. It was an idol. It was competing with God. I want to pray by 9. I said, Lord, let me just do 2 hours. Once I watch this film, 9 to 11, I will pray, Lord. As I'm about to start, they will take light. I can feel the Lord telling me, why? Those are idols too. Look at 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30. 1 Kings 16, verse 30 to 33.
and you'll see how it is important in this sermon. 1 Kings 16 verse 30. The Bible says, "And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him." So people before him have been doing evil, but it's only he took it, are you with me, to the next level. Praise the Lord. I speak in parables. He took it to the next level of impact. See verse 31. It says, "And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took." So he had already committed sins that the other king did, or Jeroboam. It was not a small thing. It was as if it was a small thing for him. That's what the Bible says. It was as if the sins that Jeroboam did and he repeated was a small thing. He said, "No, this one we are still in work. Let's go higher. Let's go deeper." That he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. He did not stop there. Verse 32. "And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria." So it was not that people were hiding again. He institutionalized it. He said, "No need to hide and worship Baal. Right now, let's flow. Let's go all out. Hold nothing back." He went and built a temple for Baal. You know, it's easy for people to say, why will you do that? It happens. I once counseled a lady. She said, now bad now. As I feel no change, let me just go inside. From sleeping with men, she became a porn star. She moved. She told me, see. Since I cannot change, let me just know that I'm inside. That's what happened. Verse 33. Everybody read verse 33. The result of this. "And Ahab made a groove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings that were before him." You know, God deliver us. You know, our use of English and their use of English is not the same. When he says Ahab made a groove, it was a building. But when I saw it, my ear have the groove. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. Verse chapter 17 now. God now sent Elijah to declare that there will be no dew or rain. So chapter 17 verse 1. Everybody read chapter 17. 1, 2, 3, go. "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain this year, but according to my word." You see, there was now dryness, famine. This is what happens spiritually when we depart from the Lord like this. Dryness. You lose your spiritual form. After a while, people will ask you, is that person still a Christian? All the trace of God, is as if there is no trace of God again. No dew, no rain. Dry. Let me tell you, these things have happened, though. Many of the secular musicians, worldly musicians, because ABCD is secular. There are people that sing national anthem, still secular, but it's not Christian. Are you with me? So secular is not exactly bad. Hindu me is secular songs, but it's not. Are you getting me? Yes. Worldly. Many of the worldly musicians, if you meet them personally, like I've met some of them were Christians, so. I won't mention anybody's name. Tongue speaking, some of them, full of the Holy Ghost, they know. One of them met me once and heard me sing and said, "Do you know that you are anointed?" I was like, "You, sir." I said, "You shall be anointing." He now told me how his father was a pastor. He used to minister in a church. I said, Yes. But right now, he's spiritually dry. If you see his music videos, I won't call his name because some of you will know him. Spiritually dry. Famine. It happens to us. Some people, it's not this bad. Some people, it is more than this. Dry. They have lost all their form spiritually.
They cannot remember the last time when they had a dew of the Spirit, or not to even talk about rain. They can't remember the last time the Holy Ghost woke them up to pray, where they were led by the Lord. Nothing like that. Dry. But you see, God doesn't want us to remain in that state. So see what God did. Go to chapter 18, verse 1. Chapter 18, verse 1. You see, God's not looking at us from heaven and saying, you see these people? Very unserious people. I don't know when they will match up. Michael, what should we do with this riffraff? I'm tired. They are so unserious. No. God's looking at us, looking for the next opportunity to get through us. Are you getting me? Chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send them upon the earth. Do you realize that it took 3 years? Some people have been there for weeks, some for months, and in this case, for years. You know, we had one program one time. I don't think, maybe Lagos or, yes, Lagos. And one of the parents of our members came. She came into the meeting. And after the service, her daughter, who was a member of the church, went to meet her and saw the mother crying. She was just sobbing. And after the service, the mother just zoomed, walked out and entered the car. And they were going. And the mother looked at her and said, please, make sure you attend this church. She said, what I felt in this church today, the last time I felt it was 15 years ago. In our campus fellowship in the university. That she began to remember the times of worship, the times where God will lead them to preach to people, that as the worship was going on, the way the anointing came on her, she remembered and began to cry. Then she discovered that the marks in the night used to have marks, like something will come and scratch her, demonic things will fight her and scratch her body. She discovered after that service, many of them started getting healed. And some of them, she has kept them for years. Look at this. 3 years. I don't know who is following online right now. I don't know. God is telling you, you have stayed in this dryness for too long. You have gotten used to being dry spiritually. God says it's time for rain. Are you with me? It's time for a change. Can you tell anybody it's time for a change? 1 Kings 18, verse 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So we're going to look at a roadmap. A roadmap. So gaining your form spiritually. So once upon a time there was rain, but people of Israel deviated and everywhere became dry. So we're going to see how the rain came back. The first step is what I call a call to genuine repentance. This was the reason why God sent Elijah to Ahab. He was the king. He was the one that was leading the people astray. So God wanted to bring rain, but he needed their cooperation. First of all, they must repent. They must see that what they have done is wrong. 1 Kings chapter 18, from verse 21. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt be ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If by you cannot go on like this. He said, how long will you halt between two opinions? You know, even as your pastor, you know, sometimes I can say I want to pray by this time. And then by that time, something will come up. I want to pray by the other time I've shifted the prayer to. By that time, something will come up. At some point, I can feel the Lord saying, how long will you keep shifting the prayer time? Are you getting me? Stand up and pray. For some people, they are walking into the temptation again. They are going to that their boyfriend's house, that their girlfriend's house to do the same thing. And the Lord is telling them, as they are going, the Holy Ghost is telling them, how long will you continue like this?
just when they're about to give in to the temptation, they can feel the Lord saying, how long will you be here? Are you with me? Now look at verse 24. Elijah now gathered all the false prophets and says, and said unto them, call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. You know what God was trying to do? Before you repent, and as you are repenting, God will show you that every other thing you have used to replace him is nonsense. God will ensure that you see with your eyes the futility of everything you have turned to apart from him. Look at verse 25. I will quickly read it. First Kings 25. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourself and dress it, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. They jumped on the altar. He reached to laugh. Oh. These guys were fervently praying. Verse 27, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. It's Elijah, eh? He got bad mouth. Your God, they sleep. Oh. And they cried aloud, verse 28, and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice or any to answer, nor any that regarded. Do you know what is happening here? Let me break it down to our own experience. See, first of all, there are two things to see here. There is a spiritual part, there is the natural part. Everything that is not God, no matter how much attention you give it, it will still not produce any results. You may be, you know, one time I had a spiritual son that was staying with me, and he came back from work and just said, Pastor, see, I'm just fed up. My boss is giving me a hard time at work. I'm exhausted. I said, so what do you want to do? He said, I want you to go and watch a movie. I'm going to watch two movies today. I said, okay, no problem. So, now, there's nothing wrong with it. Don't forget, there's nothing wrong with it. But when it becomes an idol, that's the problem. Are you with me? So he went, again, Endgame just came out. He went and watched Endgame. If I watched like three of the Avengers series, like, and he was just going to the cinema. Today, he will go, tomorrow, he will go, next tomorrow, he will go. After like dead first day, he just met me and said, Pastor, I still feel exhausted. I said, you see? What you are looking for, Endgame cannot give you. The pastor, it's true. Another thing I want you to see here is that, although it's not in this context, it is in the context of prayer. You know, for many years, when people think about prayer, all that crosses their mind is, I'm going to pray fervently. When it comes to prayer, it's not about your fervency first, but about God. You can be fervent, but if you are not talking to God, your fervency will not count for anything. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. It's actually a concept of the grace of God. There are many people that brag, you know me, I pray for 15 hours every day. Do you know who I am in the spirit? I may... See, when it comes to prayer, it's not about your fervency. These people caught themselves, so. But there was no answer. What makes prayer effective is not just that we are fervent, but it is that we are praying to a God that answers. Are you getting this? These prophets of Baal, they were cutting themselves, shouting, morning till evening, but it did not profit anything. But when we pray to a God that hears, even our whisper. Yeah. See, even when you say, God, help me, just God, help me, God hears. After me, our God hears. Our God hears. Glory. Now look at verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, after they were tired of watching the movie, of the drama of the prophet of Baal, Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And the people came near unto him. And he can we read this verse together? Verse 30. 1, 2, 3, go. I can hear your voice. And all the people came near unto him. Read on. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. I can preach a whole sermon after this on. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. So, after a call to genuine repentance, the next thing is a call to order. Repair the altar. A call to order. You have to look at your life and say, this thing broke down. I must begin to put it back. The altar I raised in January has broken down. It's 5 months now. The altar I raised has broken down. It's time to put it together. Are you with me? Yes, and all the way down to verse 7 or to verse 37 was him putting the altar back. He says, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces. I wish I could break down many of these things, but let me just say this here. Repairing the altar of God in your life will take some effort too. It will take some sacrifice. It won't be easy. Remember, when you are trying to gain your form, where we started from, when you go to the gym and you want to regain your form after leaving the gym for 5 months, your body will feel it. When you lift the dumbbell, your muscles will say, yeah! Are you with me? When you are trying to carry the dumbbells, when you are doing the bench presses, when you are doing the jogging and running, your body will tell you. By the time you come back the first day, all your bones and limbs are like, God, who sent me? Who sent me? Who sent me go gym? So there will be some sacrifice. You have to take stones, lift it and put in the altar. Every day, you open the Bible. And let me just say this here. When you are repairing your altar, you have to go back to your routines. Go back to your routines. Look at this. See verse 33. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Verse 34. And he said, do it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the tenth time. That repetition is talking about routine. You do it again. And guess what? When you are pouring, can you imagine? You are erecting an altar and you are just pouring water on it. How will fire come? It may look like it's not working. It may look like this thing is contrary to the purpose on which you are setting it up. In the same way, when you are praying every day, reading your Bible, and trying to rebuild your altar, you pray for 30 minutes today, you pray 30 minutes tomorrow, you open the Bible and read, you are worshiping the Lord. It may not look like anything spectacular. You may not even think that you are being restored. You may still think you are far from God, but let me tell you, the power and glory has started. Yes, but you see, you will be committed to your routines. You go again. You go again. Verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art the God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things according to thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their hearts back again. Meaning you have brought their hearts back again to this altar. Now, see what happened in verse 38. Everybody read verse 38. Oh, I'm not hearing your voices. 1, 2, 3, go. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Let me start from verse 37. He said, they will know that you have turned their hearts back again. when your heart has come back, because let me tell you something, it took a while for your heart to leave the Lord. So every single time that you are doing those routines, what has happened is that your heart is coming back. Your heart is coming back. Every single day you pray and you feel like maybe God is far, or you read your Bible, or you worship and you are doing that routine and it seems like God is far. Don't worry, your heart is actually coming back. When your heart has fully aligned to God, fire will fall. Are you with me? Fire will come. All of a sudden, the prayer that was feeling dry, you will begin to feel powerful. After a while, you can feel like, I'm coming back. Yes, I'm coming back. Yes, yes, yes. Are you with me? Second thing I want you to see. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up all the water. Do you know what that means? The fire will use all your routine as raw material. Many people are hungry to say, okay, God, set me on fire. There is nothing for God to work with. Where is your wood? Where is the water? Are you getting this? Every single thing that you are putting in the routine, it contributed. Every single night you woke up to pray, he even said the dust was part of it. Every single time you played a worship song in your ear, with an earpiece, and you just meditated, man, toko polekete, even if it was 2 minutes, it counted. Are you getting this? Every single moment you invested in your spiritual maturity, God is saying that it counts. Every single time you came to church, it counted. And then the fire of the Lord fell. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. But guess what? Do you realize that rain has not come? Fire has fallen, but rain has not come. And this is where many people have issues. A little spark of restoration in their spiritual life, they think they have achieved everything. They stop and walk away and say, okay, I'm now back. No, you are not back. Rain has not fallen yet. So maybe you see people, have you not seen people who, they go for a service, and in that service, it's like they were reignited. They cried. They shouted. Yay! They fell under the power. They were so excited. They go back, 1 week passes, and it's like their spiritual life goes down again. You know what happened? The fire may have fallen, but the rain has not come. Are you getting this? The fire may have fallen, but rain has not come. So, it's not consistent. It has not come to stay. So, even though the fire had fallen, there was still more. So, let's read on. Verse 8, the Bible says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Verse 39, and all the people saw it and fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Verse 40, everybody read verse 40. And Elijah said unto them, take ye the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Do you know what this means? If the rain will fall, one of the things you will do is everything that distracted you in the first place, you must kill it. Are you following this? You must now say, you see this thing, I won't go back. Can't go back to the way it used to be. Out, I kill you. You have to say, some of friends, no, we will not continue again. Some places I will not go again. Are you getting this? All the prophets of Baal, look at what he said. Don't let one escape. Don't let even one escape. You know, when God was dealing with me about this, now, from time to time as a Christian, you will have this regular regaining spiritual form. So there was one of such times in the university. And the Lord said, if I will help your spiritual life, there are some things you will not watch again. He said, if you want to watch movies, make sure that before you watch it, let it be clean. There are some places I had to stop visiting. He says, go and check again. So you will not enter a season when you have put your altar together. After you've come back to repentance, put your altar together, eliminated all the things distracting you, you enter another season of perseverance. And then you pray until the rain begins to fall. And let me tell you, when the rain begins to fall, everybody around you, we know. Everybody we know that, this guy is different. He is different. Some Christians need to experience spiritual rain in their life, in their personal life. There is no way rain will fall in a place that you are, and you are there, and you will not know. When the rain begins to fall over your life, people that are close to you, it wets them too. Are you getting me? I can remember many stories growing up as a Christian. I knew when I began to tell myself, you know what, David, you cannot continue like this. You need to rebuild. You need to gain form spiritually. You need to rebuild yourself. When the rain began to fall, even my mother testified. To start, maybe. I think church has started, yes. And I opened Luke chapter 5. I read where the Bible says that he began to teach and the power of God was present to heal them all. She said, as I finished reading that text, she felt like a personality walked up to her, removed the sickness from her. She could literally feel a hand enter inside her, remove the sickness, and she was free. Gradually, I saw my friends and my classmates who come and walk up to me. Said, you came to my dream, you were talking to me, you were teaching me. I said, okay, interesting. One day they told me, they said, do you know what is going on in our floor? When you go for lectures, people come to lie down on your bed to be healed. I said, really? Let me go and lie down again. My God, you know what's happening? The rain is falling. The rain is falling. Can you jump on your feet? I sense God wants the rain to fall again upon somebody's life. When the rain begins to fall, the crops will begin to bring forth. All the things that you thought were not working around your life, suddenly, you turn here, there is favor. You turn here, there is favor. Yes, you walk here and say, Some of you have explained what I'm talking about. You cannot explain. You turn here, things are working. You turn here. The famine has come to an end. Can you begin to pray? I will regain spiritual form. I will regain spiritual form. The rain has come down. Ha! Kapalatelia. When the rain is falling, everybody looks at you and say, I don't know, there is something just right about you. I just like you. Labarando koponsetelia. Shedegepeleteketetelia. Persevere, persevere. Asabalagabadembrondogobosetelia.